Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God,
giving honor to God on today, who is the center of my joy. I thank him for this opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. I also want to thank Pastor Glenn and Pastor Miriam for allowing me to reach your pulpit on this morning. I do not take that lightly, because I know that there are many places that do not allow women to stand in their pulpit. So I thank you for that opportunity. I want to thank this awesome, beautiful choir. Thank you for blessing me today. Certainly the Spirit of the Lord is in this place on today. And I want to thank Sister Prudence, who helped me out this morning when I came in and gathered my things. I appreciate that. It's always great to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And I also am so happy to come into God's house and see familiar faces. My Sora, my sister Yvonne, and my sister Nell, amen. So it brings a certain level of comfort to me on this morning, because I'm not literally coming there. And Pastor, when I looked at the website, I said, oh Lord, they didn't dress this man up, and here I am. So I'm not literally Pastor there, coming there. But I do have a message from the Lord, amen.
Amen.
I want to tell this brief story. I have an old son. My son is 41. And so I try to suggest movies for him to go see, and he never pays me any attention, never pays me any attention at all. So last year I said to my son, oh, you gotta go see a movie, Hidden Figures. He said, Mom, I'm not gonna see that, because he's like this alpha man. He said, I'm not gonna go see that. That movie came out about a year ago. In November, my son comes to me, and he says to me, Ma, that was a great movie. I'm like, what movie? He said, Hidden Figures. I said, oh, okay, son, you're about 6-7 months late. So with that in mind, I do want to preach from the subject, the power of hidden figures. And my text for consideration today is coming from, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible, and it's coming from the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 8, verse 1 through 3. Soon afterwards, he began going around from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sickness. Mary, who was called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, verse 3. And Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means. Again, I'm preaching from the subject, hidden, the power of hidden figures. Many of you probably by now may have seen the movie Hidden Figures, and Hidden Figures is the story of three brilliant African-American women who were mathematicians employed by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, commonly referred to as NASA. These women did not work for NASA. They were intricately involved in Project Mercury, which was the program that sent John Glenn into outer space. Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson were some amazing women who were mistreated, discriminated against, and looked down on, yet turned out to be some powerful forces that made brilliant and undeniable contributions to the USA space program. This movie not only reminded us of how difficult life was for people of color, even at NASA, but it also reminded us that behind every great movement, there are individuals whose names are never called, some people who are never acknowledged, and some people who are historically overlooked. One of the things I like about the book of Luke, which some scholars refer to as the Gospel of the Poor, is that he shines a light on the marginalized and give acknowledgement of their role throughout Jesus' ministry. This film shed the light of the magnitude of the life-changing contributions of these three women made in history, and it made my heart glad. I was so proud to see these brilliant African-American women, wives, mothers, and churchgoers, women who, against the odds, excelled in a world where white men historically were the gatekeepers. Women who were dismissed and denied a place by those in power, but since all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, there came a time for all three of the women that their hiddenness was disrupted and turned around by well-deserved promotions and acknowledgments. Tragically, the sad truth is that many of us, even the most educated of us, have never heard of these women who were graduates of historically black Hampton University, Wilberforce University, and West Virginia State University. We never heard of them, but their presence and contribution to the aeronautic and space programs are irrefutable. So it's good to know that one of the men in NASA recognized the gifts of Katherine Johnson, who was like a human computer. She was likened to a human-generated computer who was able to solve problems that no one else could solve. She very humbly entered into a world that sought to suppress her gifts, a world that recoiled. When she went out and got a cup of coffee from the community urn of white men that white men drank from, which ultimately resulted in the purchase of her very own coffee pot, so that she did not have to drink out of the same coffee urn as the others used by in the office. And this is not an act that was initiated by Katherine. And this only added insult to injury when she had to run across the NASA campus to use a one-colored-only restroom that some say was nearly a half a mile away from her workstation. But the good news is that after months of being berated, ignored, and undervalued, Katherine Johnson's ability were finally recognized, and she was allowed to do significant work that included launching the re-entry trajectory calculation that secured a safe landing for astronaut John Glenn. Likewise, they had to finally grudgingly promote Dorothy Vaughan, who was the only one on the base who could program the new IBM computers. She was self-taught to do all that the other well-trained men could not figure out to do. And though she had been invisible for years, fighting for promotion, she finally got her well-deserved promotion and became the supervisor of the entire computer program department. Now, how's that for the last being first? She was not like a whole lot of people, you know, when you get a break or a promotion, you walk through the door of opportunity. And we sometimes look back. If we don't look back, we don't reach back for that matter. She reached back, and she took a whole group of women of color that she had trained to be literate in computer language. And lastly, there was Mary Jackson, who became NASA's first black female engineer, who had to get a court order to attend the local engineering program that served only white men up to that point. And the miracle of her contribution to the space program was her casual discovery of the experimental capsule that changed the course of outer space travel. These brilliant African-American women and other black women in the picture who worked at NASA were clearly valuable, but they had to fight to demand that those who doubted them would look beyond racial differences and allow them to make a significant contribution to science and history they ultimately made. Katherine, Dorothy, and Mary were hidden and unacknowledged, yet they worked hard behind the scenes. They maintained their integrity and sense of purpose until their worth could no longer be hidden. And when you understand who you are, even in your hiddenness, your power will be unquestionable and undeniable. And I believe that there may be somebody in the sanctuary today who has spent some time in hiddenness, times and difficult and frustrating and desperate places, times when you wanted to be in better and more connected places, believing that something great might well be coming. But for whatever reason, we have found ourselves feeling unnoticed by God and undiscovered by the rest of the world. When so much of what we have goes unnoticed, our gifting is there, yes. Our dreams are there. Our abilities are there. But for some reason, you're feeling like your life is concealed and we are living the best, but parts of us are yet unseen. It's kind of like an iceberg. You only see the tip of who you become. But right under, you're being underutilized and unacknowledged in the areas that are important to you. You are not alone. There are some people in throughout the church and throughout God's kingdom that live their lives on jobs and in churches feeling unappreciated, but they still give their best, unsung, but they continue to fill in the gap, feeling unrewarded, but totally committed to keep working with excellence. You may have been unseen, but you have been faithful, always present. Men and women all over the kingdom have struggled with this reality. A reality that author Alicia Britt Chloe in her book Anonymous calls hidden seasons. We've all had hard times where instead of being sought after, you feel left out and looked over. Instead of being consulted, you feel unconsidered and insignificant, and nobody wants to hear from you. Instead of being celebrated, you're pushed to the margin. African Americans historically know the paradoxical reality of being uncelebrated and unacknowledged, but still productive. In spite of being marginalized, in spite of being unrecognized, we continue to do our work with excellence. And in most cases, we have to do it with 150% because nobody thinks that we are good enough. There's someone sitting in the pews right now filled with concealed potential and undetected anointing. And you may be wondering if you will ever get to the place where God has promised to take you, feeling like a fly stuck in tar just waiting for an opportunity to fly. Others have made it. Others are visible. Others are being celebrated. Their names are being called out. But even though you're trying to be happy for them, you are about to be swallowed up in self-doubt and discouragement. But here's some more good news. After seasons of hiddenness, there will come a time of revelation. African Americans have surely experienced hiddenness. We experienced over 200 years of hiddenness during slavery from about 1620 to 1865. Blacks worked on plantations and farms. We were beaten, lynched, raped, and educationally oppressed. Slave owners, many of the founding fathers and politicians did everything they could to keep blacks ignorant and marginalized. They were determined that we would neither read nor meet Jesus outside of Ephesians 6 and 5, Colossians 3 and 22, and 1 Peter 2:18. And heaven forbid we discover the real genius within us. Nevertheless, with all that they did to us, with all that they continue to do to us, we are still major forces to be reckoned with, people who went on and continue to go on doing some amazing things. We became Harriet Tubman, who herself escaped from slavery, then had the nerve to go back and reach back and get others out of slavery too. Became Frederick Douglass, who also escaped from slavery and ultimately became a writer, orator, abolitionist, and politician. We became Benjamin Banneker, an astronomer, mathematician, and author of the Almanac. We became Patricia Bath, born in Harlem, first African American to complete a residency in ophthalmology, and went on to invent the surgical devices that treat cataracts. We became Charles Drew, surgeon who invented the blood bank. We became Louis Latimer, who gave us the light bulb and gave Alexander Graham Bell the blueprint for the telephone. We became Garrett P. Morgan, who invented the gas mask and the traffic light. Oh, but it does not stop there. The list goes on and on and on. We became Sojourner Truth, Nat Turner, Rosa Parks, Marcus Garvey, Shirley Chisholm, Malcolm X, Constance Baker Motley, Thurgood Douglas, Loretta Lynch, Martin Luther King Jr., Venus and Serena Williams. We became John Lewis, Dorothy Heights, and Carl Haston and Condoleezza Rice. And I'm not the only, I don't think more highly of myself than I ought, but we became Reverend Dr. Angela A. West. We became Leonard D. Comathea Jr., pastor of Macedonia Baptist Church, and we became the 44th president of the United States of America, Barack Hussein Obama. And the reason why I include myself in this is because only half of my story has been told. I know what it feels like to be rejected because my skin color was too dark. I know what it feels like to be ignored. Some people don't think I would have amounted to anything, but I had a "but God" moment. I started my education at the age of 30 with a high school equivalency diploma, "but God." Some folk tried to keep me down, and some folk tried to keep me hidden, "but God." And I know there's somebody up here this morning who has felt hidden, and you've had your own "but God" moment. Yes, we were hidden. But because of God's grace, mercy, favor, we are no longer hidden in the darkness. And although they still want African Americans to languish in a state of obscurity, we continue to become doctors, lawyers, CEOs, judges, astronauts, school superintendents, bankers, college presidents, educators, preachers, writers, pastors, and PhDs. We came out of the hiddenness, and we have to educate this world every day. And though they try to put us back, we cast out those things and systems that try to keep us hidden. We cast out the prison system that is designed to keep us hidden. Today, we cast out the educational system that serves as a pipeline to that prison system. Today, church, we must cast out this current political administration that seems to be committed to the hiddenness of all minorities. Why? Because as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. stated, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And we cast out those establishments until they understand that the more you press us, and the more you press us, the more we will multiply. The more you try to keep us down, the more we will fight to get up, because we know that if God be for us, who can be against us? Our foreparents taught and revealed to us that the years of obscurity, while they are painful at times, they can be productive. And as Alicia Chloe Brick says, the hidden years are meant to be the birthplace of greatness and power. That means that even times of darkness and drought, we must remain focused on getting to know God and standing on His word. We have to be clear about this, church. No matter what we encounter, more than anything, we must want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection. The most productive and beneficial thing we can do when we are in places of barrenness is to get to know Jesus real good and allow Him to enlarge our character, allow Him to increase our integrity, and allow Him to deepen our insight. And while we are waiting on our prayers to be answered, church, we must understand that God uses delays in our lives sometimes to plant seeds of faith in us. Because how we handle ourselves in those hidden years or hidden seasons determine how we'll handle ourselves in times of harvest and promotion. Every choice we make is an investment in a future that we cannot see. In our hidden years, we must refuse to be bitter or frustrated or spiritually disconnected, because we need to allow those seasons to shape us into people of great faith. We cannot allow ourselves to give up on living through the difficult seasons, but rather have faith that God is preparing us for a greater tomorrow. So instead of resorting to negativity and second-guessing God, embrace this time of preparation to build your faith, build your character, and to build your soul and strength for life's journey. This is one of the truths I think that echo in our text today, which is a very short story of Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, three women who followed Jesus. Yes, they were wives, mothers, but surely they were real true disciples of Christ. However, they were also women who history does not widely proclaim.
And as we look at them in this pericope, we can determine three things about them. One, their lives have been touched by the miracle working power of Jesus. And if you look at the text, it clearly states and lays out how Mary had been delivered of seven demons. And while we do not know the specifics of the other two women, Susanna and Joanna, what they had experienced, the text does imply that they were healed or delivered from something. They were not like the 12 who followed Jesus because he compelled them to. They were among those who followed Jesus because they had been blessed by his ministry. So they did not mind serving God because God had done some great things in their life. And I'm always baffled sometimes to go into a church and you see that there's 10% of the people doing 100% of the work. If God is so good, we ought to be willing and able and glad to be able to serve him. The work of Jesus and his disciples was supported by the service and expressions of gratitude. These three women, which brings to my next point, these women were not only touched by Jesus' miracle work and power, they were also strong contributors to the gospel ministry. According to the text, these women were women of means, and we don't know if they were wealthy, but they had something because they were obviously generous, and their generosity played an important part in meeting the needs of Jesus. When it comes to food and clothing, perhaps lodging, these holy women played an integral role in ensuring that Jesus and his disciples were taken care of so that they could go on about preaching and delivering the good news. These women would never receive the accolades and commendations that Peter, James, and John would have. These hidden figures were clearly behind the scenes, helping to make it happen. In their hiddenness, they get more done behind the scenes than they appear to be doing out front. It's kind of like the young lady who was recognized today for her work with the Baby Institute. The third thing we can determine and learn about these three women is that Jesus let it be known through them that their value, their importance, their power, and their position had little to do with others seeing them, but had everything to do with the fact that they had a heart for the Lord. All throughout Mark and throughout the New Testament, Jesus elevated women who traditionally would have been suppressed, and their support in Jesus' ministry had a profound impact on the gospel being spread, which far exceeded their monetary contributions. You see, Jesus has a way of esteeming us when others don't see us. Jesus has a way of letting our significance and value be known because he is not governed by humanity's measurements of our value. He does not honor ignorance, but instead he honors our motives, our devotion, and acts of service. He is concerned with the conditions of our heart. And so these women teach us that there are times in our lives when we have to choose between living for the affirmation of man, Pastor, and living for the affirmation of women or affirmation of God. We cannot serve two masters. We have to choose between pleasing God and doing what we have to do to honor God. Recognizing, we want recognition sometimes, and it does feel good sometimes, but I don't know about you. I'd rather hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," any day above the accolades of man. These women made a choice between doing what they needed to do to get close to the Lord and doing what other folk told them to do. You see, there are times when we have to choose between losing hope and walking in faith. And it is during those times that we can either resent God for being delayed in his promise, or we can use our seasons of hiddenness to seek and enhance our relationship with God, knowing that when it looks like you can't go on, when it looks like you want to give up, when it looks like the sun is not going to shine anymore, I know a God that is able to put a rainbow in the sky. I'll say it again. You cannot serve two masters and be fulfilled. Choose ye this day. You can follow the world and its immorality, or we can resist the temptation of this world and hold fast to the hope that where you are now is not final. And though your hiddenness is a temporary situation, it's still a place of value, and you don't have to wither and die because God has something else in mind. Do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in doing what is right and what is good, because at the right time you will reap a harvest of a blessing if you do not give up. These two trios of women, Catherine, Dorothy, Mary, and Mary Magdalene, Susanna, and Joanna, let us know that the Lord's work in us does not sleep, and the Lord's work for us never comes to a halt. These three women in our text, Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Susanna, we don't know much about them, but I'm glad that Luke thought enough of them so that even in their hiddenness, he made us understand that they were valuable to God. Let me remind you that it was Mary Magdalene at the cross when they hung him high and they stretched him wide. It was Mary Magdalene at the empty tomb. And it was Mary Magdalene that God used to run tell the good news that Jesus is alive. So you see, it does not yet appear. But God is preparing you for your ministry. God is preparing you for your next job. God is preparing you for your next assignment, so that when you come out of hiding, you will have the character to stay where his grace is going to place you. You may not be where you're going to end up or where you want to go, but keep on going after Jesus. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep going after Jesus and trusting God to bring it to pass, knowing that if he's done it before, he'll sure to do it again. Your hiddenness is just a temporary situation. You may have to work hard, but you also need to know that it's just a matter of time. You may have to work hard in your hiddenness while God gets some people out of your way. Just wait on him. You may need to stay in your hiddenness for just a little while longer, knowing as long as I know that God is in control, you're on your way somewhere great. Keep waiting and keep believing in the promises of God's word, because my goal, church, is not to die in a pool of popularity. So I'm not going to beg for praise. I just want the Lord to use me. It doesn't matter if you know my name, as long as God knows my name. First Presbyterian, I'm so glad that God has his hand on my life. I'm so glad that God has his hand on your life. I'm so glad that God has given me a work to do in the kingdom, even in my seasons of hiddenness. I'm so glad that God, in his infinite wisdom, has called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we ought to thank God for our value. We ought to thank God for the hidden years. And thank God he's preparing you for greater works. And when you finish thanking God, you can praise God for what he's getting ready to do in your life. Is there anybody here this morning who is happy that the Lord saved your soul? Is there anybody here this morning that is bold enough to believe that God will give you a new situation that will make your old situation laughable? Is there anybody here that knows, even in your hiddenness, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can think, imagine, or do? Don't try to impress the president or the mayor or the governor, because only what you do for Christ will last. It's okay to want to rub shoulders, but if you're rubbing shoulders with people just to get their attention and their accolades, it won't last. Only what you do for Christ will last. There is power in knowing God. There is power in waiting on the Lord. There is power of being in a stronger relationship with God, even in your hiddenness. Amen.
Amen. Amen.